We're good to go.
Call to order the regular session of the Newport Planning Commission for December 11th.
He likes that gavel too much.
Bill Brannigan.
Here.
Bob Berman, I'm here. Jim Hanselman.
I'm here.
Gary East.
Here.
Braulio Escobar.
Here.
John Updike.
Here.
Marjorie Blom.
Here.
Okay, approval of the minutes in the new weird format that makes Sherry's life much easier.
Yeah, that was quick.
Do I hear a motion or any adjustments to the minutes?
I'll move approval.
Pardon?
I loved him and I move approval.
Okay, second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor of approval of the two sets of minutes? Indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay, oh, you're opposed?
Abstained.
You abstain, okay. That's fine. The minutes are approved. Citizen public comment? Nah, I don't think so. Public hearings. Now, tell me, Derek, is it necessary to read this if there's nobody in the room but us chickens?
No.
That is our practice, so why don't you give it a run and just go as quickly as you can through it.
All right.
Glass of water.
This public hearing can be conducted utilizing the Zoom video conference platform. Before we get started, provide staff a moment to identify individuals participating virtually.
There are none.
Thank you. I would also like to cover a few ground rules. Individuals wishing to speak may raise their hand using the technology at hand. Please keep your microphone muted unless you're speaking. For persons persons participating by a video or phone, city can make shared screen available. Those persons who have elected to attend in person, a computer will be set up if you show up. Is this quasi-judicial?
No, it's legislative.
Okay. Oh, yeah, this legislative too. All right. This was a hearing about land use amendments to implement the 2023 State of Oregon legislative mandates. The statement applies to all quasi-judicial and legislative land use hearings on the agenda. All testimony and evidence presented towards a request being heard must be directed toward the applicable criteria in the Newport Comprehensive Plan, Newport Municipal Code, or other land use regulations or standards which the speaker believes to apply to the decision. Failure of anyone to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the Planning Commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue will preclude appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals based on that issue. An issue which may be the basis for an appeal to LUBA shall be raised not later than the close of the record at or following this evidentiary hearing. Such issues shall be raised and accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the city decision makers and the parties an adequate opportunity to respond to each issue. The failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the city to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Prior to the conclusion of the hearing, any participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence, arguments, or testimony regarding the application. If such a request is made, then the hearing will be continued to a date certain and schedule set for submittal of additional testimony, a period for parties to respond to the new testimony, and a period whereby the applicant can provide final argument. Anybody object to any of us doing any of this? Nope. Okay. Planning Commission may, at the request of a participant, continue the hearing to provide an opportunity for persons to present and rebut new evidence, arguments, or testimony. Since this is a legislative hearing, we'll have a staff report. There won't be any applicant testimony, but we will accept persons in favor or opposed in a rebuttal if there are any. And then we'll close the record, deliberate, come to a verbal decision, have a final order next meeting.
In this case, it'll just be a recommendation to council on the legislative matter, but...
Okay, that's right.
All right, so I just
put that up there. I'll just run through briefly. This is, you'd already seen these changes. These were changes that are required to comply with three House bills, House Bill 2898, House Bill 3167, and House Bill 3395 that came out of the last full legislative session. The first change was to definitions, adding definitions for emergency shelter and single room occupancy. The second change plugged them in where we're required to put them in. Single room occupancy is plugged in there in all residential zones. And then emergency shelter in all residential zones. I did make the change that you'd requested relative to emergency shelters, a hearing before, for all of them, subject to a public hearing before Newport City Council to establish compliance with the requirements of the statute, since there were a couple of provisions in the statute that are discretionary, such as adequate access to commercial and medical services, or whether or not the shelter poses an unreasonable risk to public health or safety. Those are discretionary. So you asked that it be, you know, a hearing in all cases in all residential, and that's how it's structured now. Next up, added it in as community service use, emergency shelters pursuant to that statute, which picks them up in the commercial zones and industrial zones. It's conditional in two. It's conditional in the C2, and it's conditional in the I2. Then, and it's permitted in the C1, C3, and I1. So staff makes a call where it's permitted outright in those commercial industrial zones, where it was already listed as conditional, that goes to a hearing. Temporary use change had to do with how long an RV can be used for a place of habitation on a lot when they're rebuilding. That's where the state changed the law from 24 months to 60 months. Yeah. So that's reflected there.
Question on that. Use the term natural disaster, which sort of is moderately well-defined, but not completely.
I believe that's from the bill.
Well, might be. For example, when those houses tried to fall in the creek, the 71st.
70th,
is that a natural disaster, or was that just a normal everyday flood?
No, that would be a disaster because it would be a landslide. That was a landslide.
Okay.
That took them out.
But
all right.
Even if it was...
Well, what if it was
caused by improper grading, or so that would have almost been would that have been more of a man-made disaster?
That was never shown. I mean, there was speculation as to what some of the underlying causes were, but there was never. I mean,
not specifically with regards to that, though. I mean, the question is, somebody screws up, and then the rain comes, and the house falls over.
If it's caused by a mess up on our part, we probably have a tort claim heading our way. So.
Okay. All I'm saying disaster be a little better defined?
A mechanical failure of something like a storm line or something is not a natural disaster. A landslide that impacts multiple properties, that would be a natural disaster.
You don't think it needs to be defined?
I think we're okay.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
I'm sorry. I was trying to figure out what the change here. This was the affordable housing, notwithstanding other provisions of this section. Affordable housing shall be permitted at street grade. Yeah, the House bill that. We used to limit that to property owned by public body or nonprofit. We can't do that anymore, so that had to go.
Oh, okay.
That's what that change was on G. Then transportation standards. We had to add in a new form of guarantee. And I had an opportunity then, because of that, to also add in a cross-reference that we neglected to include when we did the TSP. We have, we do public improvement agreements in two arenas. One arena is a situation like Harbor Freight, where it's redevelopment of an existing lot. And another circumstance would be like what we just did in Wilder, which was a 26-lot subdivision that Fowler just wrapped up, which is in the land division. We have all of the public improvement language in terms of what goes into an improvement agreement in the land division code. In the code that deals with the Harbor Freight situation, which is frontage improvements, we authorize public improvement agreements, but we don't spell out what goes in them. This cross-reference just says the same stuff that we put into an improvement agreement when we're dealing with a land division. So, and then we added in the new form of guarantee, which ended up being one or more award letters from a public funding source made to a subdivider who's subdividing property to develop affordable housing. So affordable housing developers didn't want to have to provide provide performance bonds or letters of credit from a lending institution. They felt that, hey, look, if we have sufficient funding for the project that's being guaranteed from, say, Oregon Housing Community Services or some other entity that's providing money for this affordable housing project, that award letter ought to be sufficient. We shouldn't have to put up a performance bond. So if they're awarded $25 million to build a 100-unit affordable housing project at a particular location, and they produce the award letter from Oregon Housing Community Services says that they're getting that money, we have to accept that as a financial guarantee for whatever frontage improvements they have to do to build that number of units. We can't tell them, well, we want a performance bond for 110% of the cost of... Not excited about the change, but we have to make it. Because the whole purpose for a performance bond is to ensure that they get it done. And if they don't get it done, we then have something to fall back on to make sure it gets done. So we're just going to have to keep our fingers crossed that Oregon Housing Community Services makes them do it for them to be able to move forward. So.
That includes all infrastructure?
Yeah.
Derek?
Yep.
Third line on that sure. Comma needs to go away. Makes it read very confusingly.
Which comment? I'm sorry?
A comma.
The comma on the third?
After the word housing.
Okay. I got a draft of it here. I'll make a quick change to it. What's that? Pick it up before it goes to you. I got it. Just get rid of that one right after housing. All right, we'll make that change before it gets to council.
Okay.
And then in procedural, this was the one under F, published notice that allows us to go digital in lieu of paper if we don't have a print option. Which the News Times changed their publication. Now they're on Wednesdays, so instead of Fridays, so we'll...
Yeah, what's the point of having it be... Is it part of the code formatted similarly to a printed newspaper? Why is that really necessary? I'm thinking of News Lincoln County.
Because that was a function of the bill that says...
The bill says that? The
bill says that, yeah.
Okay.
We kind of have to use the language of the bill when it's crafted in that manner.
But do we really have digital newspaper in Lincoln County?
No, we used to, but we could have another one.
And, we're at risk of losing our print version at some point, too. We're not that far away. So better to put both options in there and
cross our fingers. Because there are a number of things that we, and not just in our function of our own code, although our own code expands it and utilizes it as a form of notice for lots of things, but there are a number of things that by statute we are obligated to do a publication on. And so if we lose the ability, that's going to put us in a pinch. Even the single publication moving around from like a Friday to a Wednesday, I mean, if we have a street vacation proposal come before you guys, you might remember we have to like publish in consecutive weeks prior to the hearing, and it has to be within a certain window of days. And so we're left, okay, how do we hit this target when this is the only, these are the only publication dates we have available to us?
Yeah. Well, Sherry's got plenty of time now. She doesn't have to do minutes. She can figure all that out.
No, we go through those mental gymnastics, yeah, trying to figure it out. We're sitting there going, okay, does this make, okay, we can hit this. So, sorry. Oh, and then there was the last change here had to do with extending the 100, the time frame for making a decision in certain, we get 7 additional days in certain circumstances. That's it.
Okay, do I have a motion as to any action with this file 1Z23?
I'll move to accept it or to pass the recommendation on to the City Council. Is that the way it should be phrased?
Positive recommendation. Yeah.
Positive recommendation.
Positive, yeah. That way.
Second.
What he's done is incorporated the discussion that we had at our work session.
Any second for that?
I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed or abstention? Thank you. That file will be passed along to the City Council with a positive recommendation. Derek, your little dog and pony show at the end here.
Yeah, I don't have anything else formally on the agenda. I did want to mention a couple of things. One, we are still waiting for the funding agreement from the state for the City Center project. That's why, Bob, you have not been contacted for any kind of committee work, because we can't start the committee work until we actually have a funding agreement in place, and it's still stuck in ODOT procurement. So hopefully that'll kick out in January. We're pretty frustrated because I think we're going to be rebuilding the schedule now for the third time, because it's blown up too much of the front end where we're going to have to rebuild it, and you know what the public engagement time frames are going to be, all of that. And so but we can't do anything until we have that, and as soon as we have that, we'll get that going. But that's why nothing's happened on that front. I've been doing a fair amount of outreach, a lot of radio. I'll be on the radio again tomorrow on the parking. We are looking at getting the pay stations installed on the 19th of January, so they'd go live on the 20th, weekends only. We are doing a soft rollout, as we've discussed, on the e-permits, where there will be a courtesy permit available from that point in January on through April, with then the actual paid e-permit starting May 1st, and at that time, the pay stations will transition to 7 days week, 11 to 7. So that's where we're at with that. And so we'll be pushing out quite a bit of information to stakeholders in the next week or two on that, informing folks about, you know, okay, here's how you get an e-permit. We have the list of commercial fishing owner and operators from the port. So we're in a position where we can reach out to them and because they have an invite-only e-permit, so we'll get that piece working as well. All of the pay stations, they had been lined up in here over the weekend. Chief Malloy and Donald Valentine, our parking enforcement officer, worked with T2 to make sure that all of them were working on the payment side. They'd already been programmed, but we had to make sure that you can actually, you know, put a card in there or put coins in there, and it was all functioning properly and communicating to the right merchant accounts, so on and so forth. So we're getting close to the finish line on that.
Thank goodness. Any Contractor's been hired to demolish South Beach Church?
Not yet. South Beach Church received a 30-day extension so they could stay through the end of January. Yeah, that actually went to council. So
went to the council?
Went to the council, and the council authorized a 30-day extension. And actually, council as the, I think it was as the urban renewal agency. I think the letter went out as an urban renewal agency. So they'll be able to stay in through January. The proposal now is public for redevelopment of the property. The partnership is with Halley Development Company. Halley's owner is John Oxenholt. You may know John or not.
Lincoln City.
Lincoln City developer. But Halley Development is based actually out of Bend. And so they'll be redeveloping the property. We put together a detailed 44-page disposition and development agreement that will go before the council for formal approval. They accepted it at their first meeting and only meeting in December, and have scheduled a public hearing for adoption on the 16th of January. And this would be as the Urban Renewal Agency, not as City Council. So they'll be redeveloping it. And if you're interested in what the development concept looks like, I'd encourage you to take a look at the Urban Renewal Agency meeting information. It's on the website from the December, 4th meeting.
Okay.
It's going to have a number of food carts and then small retail space. It's a pretty cool development. And it's in line with one of the three concepts that the community said they wanted to see down there in terms of service type uses. So,
pretty exciting. When we first took up food carts?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the sky is falling, you know. There's a lot of pushback. And now they seem fairly well accepted.
This will be the first time we actually have something that is a full-on pod where you've got eight to ten of them along, you know, in one location.
There's one in Lincoln City and the south end of Lincoln City.
Yep. Similar to that.
It's going to be that same concept. Mm-hmm. So you have a large indoor seating area with restrooms and
Yep.
The carts all the way around. Has anybody even been up there? Has anybody stopped or ate? Or
what?
Has anybody used that one? Have you visited that food cart area?
In Lincoln City?
Uh-huh. Yes.
One time.
Well, then you only got the sample one.
Albany has one. Corvallis does. It's Comfields. They're all over the place.
Yeah, Eugene by the theater.
They're pretty popular.
Yeah, Eugene's got
especially
several of them, actually.
Indoor seating. You know, you can have the outdoor carts.
And that's one of... Councillor Hall, she raised that, you know, in the discussion, and the Urban Renewal Agency, once the agreement's in place, is going to have a chance to work through the design details. Right now, it's a concept drawing, but they'll have a chance to look at and work with Halley as they put the full plans together. And there's going to be covered seating, and they can work through exactly how much is there, but it does need to, and I think everybody agrees it needs to have enough covered seating that it's a useful space year-round, not just during the summer.
Wasn't there discussion about having a pod at the old Allen Brown tire store? It's now another dispensary.
Well, there is one food cart there.
There is one?
That functions, yes.
Not always open, but...
Not always open, but they do have one. Now, I don't know if that one's in through invitation of the dispensary.
Uh-huh.
Right. Or operated by the dispensary. I don't really know.
They never got to a pod. The pod, once you get on like four or more, now you're into serious investment. You know, you got to put in power and you got to put in water and wastewater and all that. So we haven't had anybody go down that path just yet. Newport Brewery kicked it around a little bit, but they haven't acted on anything.
Across the street, I haven't seen any activity at the car dealership. Are they still going to go ahead with that project? Or
Toyota of Newport?
Yeah.
Yes. They haven't moved forward with construction yet.
But 2 years is what they have? And then a pretty much automatic one-year extension, is that?
Yeah, 2 years. And then, there's an additional extension on that. They're working through some utility issues right now. I just had our city engineer, acting city engineer, Chris Beattie, in my office talking to me about it. So they're dealing... They're working through some waterline service issues to the property. So,
and what is going on at Public Works in terms of staffing?
We don't have much there right now. That's the problem. We don't have. I mean, our city engineer, That whole Safe Routes to School project we have for, I had to tell the state we needed a 12-month extension because we lost our city engineer and our assistant city engineer retired. So that's two key positions. And we're not like Portland. We don't have a lot of other bodies to backfill. And so Chris Beattie, who was our project manager and the only remaining licensed engineer, is wearing all hats. Now, what we're going to end up doing is, you know, looking to fill those positions. So we're going through the hiring process. But in the meantime, we're going to do some contract services on development review to have hire an engineering firm. We have a number of them as engineers of record that we can just do task orders with. We don't have to do a full RFP because we've already gone through that to get them as engineers of record. That can do that kind of consulting development review. And we're packaging up our standards as simple as possible. And they will function much like our contract building plan review services do. And they will all come under the heading of community development. So we will not have multiple departments dealing with that piece.
Hmm.
That will allow engineering to focus on public projects. And so, and it's probably a little bit more efficient since we work in the development review side than it'd be housed in One World. Okay. And that's how a lot of jurisdictions do it. You have your engineer staff that handles development review and frontage improvements and, you know, what's needed for a subdivision, working in community development. And your engineering staff is working on extending new force mains or building new pump stations or, you know, placing a reservoir, that kind of stuff.
Imagine that.
So.
Okay. Okay, anything else? We're adjourned.
Yeah, we deferred that.
Exemplary job, Mr. Berman. Well, that was really hard. I had to rush through that.